while preparing for this particular episode, I came upon a quote that says technology should not just be about innovation and advancement alone. It should also reflect our values and our beliefs. This offers us an opportunity to create a digital space that aligns with our ethical and our religious principles, you know, thereby creating inclusivity and respect in the digital realm, just as we build on that space. On this episode of Tony's Tech Side, I'll be speaking to the co-founder of an L1 blockchain that aims to build a Sharia compliant economy in the metaverse, Hark, Mohammed Al-Kav Al-Hashmi. And the mission for Hark is to create an inclusive and ethical digital future for the Muslim community using blockchain technology and smart contracts. He's an engineer, a computer science engineer, more than 18 years of experience. And he is the co-founder of Hark Network. Hi, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great and happy to be with you today. And I have to say that you have done the introduction in a nice way with focusing on how we merge the technology with ethics and values. That's very important.
Yes, it is. I am in Lagos. And he is in Abu Dhabi. And I was asking about the weather just before we started this episode. And what's the weather like again, for the sake of our listeners?
Well, yesterday and today is windy and there is a lot of rain. And this week there are a lot of events happening, especially in Dubai for the Web3. And some of it got cancelled because of the weather conditions.
Okay, it's rainy in Lagos, and I think the season for rain is just about to begin in Lagos, or just about to pick up in Lagos. With Lagos, you really can't tell. Like, you can just, one second it's like this, and the other second, you know, we're all, you know, very sweaty, and so I hope that everyone prepares very well for the change of, you know, seasons, and you know, we cannot get past the season into the next one. Let's begin with innovation and piety. These two words. Why do we need innovation to meet with piety and ethics and values?
Yeah. So actually, if we look at the era and the time we're living now, innovation is everywhere and technology is everywhere. So it became essential part of our life. When we talk about financial life, we talk about lifestyle, we talk about education, health, anything you talk about, technology became a very important part of it. And since things are moving in a way or another to be virtual, to be remote, to be online in a way or another, so of course there's a huge need to keep this attached to the ethics and values. I look at it from different point of view. One is the technology, because it is a tool, and if this tool is not being used with in ethical way and in a way that's attached to values, it will be a bad tool actually. And we hear a lot of stories because there are no ethics and values used as standards to drive the technology. And on the other side, also from a financial prospect, I look at it very seriously here, because now if we look at most of the financial schools in the world, they talk a lot about numbers, about loss, profit, revenue. They don't talk a lot about ethics and values. Usually, there will be a third party that will run always after the financial institutions and tell them, oh, you have to care about the sustainability, about the environment, about the society, about many other things. But if we look at the financial schools everywhere and study them, we will find there is one financial school that has the sustainability, environment, ethics, and value already built in with it. There is no need to third for third party to come for a financial school, which is the Sharia financial school, or we can say the Islamic financial school. And I have to highlight here that is not exclusive for Muslims. It is for every human being. Everyone can use it. Everyone can benefit from it. There is no exclusivity here. It's a financial school to serve everybody.
Now, if we're breaking down into particular details of the differences that this economy has or will have or will offer to what is obtainable now, what are the upsides that you would want to mention?
Well, it's a very good question, because the current financial model has a lot of gaps. If you look at the inflation that's happening all over the world, if you look at the financial crisis that happened before 2008 and before and after that, you will find that a lot of this, it's happening because lacks of ethics and values. Why I'm saying this, give you one example. A big reason to have the intent to have the crisis is the interest system. It's one of the main verticals or pillars of the current financial system. So it's all built around charging interest from people, and this caused a lot of disasters in the history. If you go back to 2008, crisis happened in the international financial system because of the interest and the loans. Don't want to go into details here to focus our conversation, but people can research about it and they will find out that it's all about loans against maybe real estate, different things, charge, and that's not really helpful. And that continuing doing that, it causes a lot of problems. It makes high inflation all over the world. And that's where I think there are some gaps that need to be closed. If we talk about ethics and values here, I mean, somebody who came to you asking for a loan, it means he's in need for money. He doesn't have enough money. That's why he's asking for a loan. And you go and squeeze him more by charging hefty interest every time. It's not balanced. It's not fair. And there are a lot of examples. So I believe there are some gaps. I will not say it's a bad system, but those gaps really caused bad situation to the whole people all over the world, and there could be some solutions to cover that one. And still, we are hearing every time a lot of entities suffering, some entities closing, bankrupting because of those gaps.
Now, the solution that you're proposing is a Sharia compliant, say, virtual economy or metaverse, and there is a particular solution you're building towards this. First, let's start with identifying what exactly it means when we say, we're talking about a Sharia compliant, maybe virtual economy or metaverse.
Okay, so these are three things, and each one we should talk about it separately, because when we talk about the Sharia finance or Sharia compliant, this system actually and this school, it's the same when we say Islamic finance, it's also part of it, but this school is existed since more than 1,400 years. I mean, it is there because all the instructions of this school mentioned in the Quran, and the Holy Quran is there since more than 1,400 years. And it's not something new we just invented, but at this era, we're trying to represent it in a more transparent way. I mean, the Sharia compliant is not something, as we said, exclusive for Muslims. It's for everyone. It talks about balance. It talks about ethics and values. It talks about how to create balance and how to not execute a deal between two parties that there is, I mean, something unfair for one party against the other, or unbalanced conditions. So always fairness, balancing, and community comes before we calculate the profit and loss and other things. And that's, I mean, in brief, if I will describe what is Sharia finance, and there is part of it talks about the donation, about other conditions on how to do the transactions in a way that's very clear for every party. It's not like there should not be gray areas that people don't know about. So it is all about being transparent, clean, straightforward, putting the people, community, environment, sustainability first, and about being 100% transparent. So this is how we can describe in a short way when we say Sharia compliant. And from this description, you can understand that this is can be utilized by Muslims and non-Muslims. And you can find some of the banks in Africa. It's Islamic banks, but 60% of their members are non-Muslims. So this is part, then we discussed about the, let's say, virtual economy and metaverse. So that's different things. That are tools. I mean, we can call it in general, we can say about it, it's a Web3. Web3, it contains blockchain, artificial intelligence, crypto, metaverse, a virtual economy, and many tools and components comes under the Web3. So Web3 is one of the best tools now to serve the finance, to serve the Sharia financial school, because it's very beneficial and very effective when you talk about transparency. So let me give you one example. When we have a public blockchain, and this blockchain is governed by the community, so it is more trusted, it's more transparent. And when you link this with the economy, with the finance, with the smart contracts, with the transactions, and you put all of it on the chain, then it is more trusted, more effective, less cost, and transparent. So we can understand from this that the Web3 tools are the best way to connect it with the ethical finance, to serve it, and to increase the reaching to the people, and to make it very easy. Because if you ask anyone who's using any financial tools, or who's not using any financial tools, do you trust the current financial systems? Or even when we talk about the Sharia, are you sure that it is as transparent as enough? Then he will have, of course, a lot of doubts. But when you put this on Web3 and on the chain, it's quite different, and there is no doubt about transparency in this case.
Now, let's go to busting myths about, you know, Sharia compliant, you know, financing, the economy. What myths have you heard that you'd want to say, this is untrue, and this is what is true about it?
Yes, when we, first of all, when we talk about Sharia finance, or let's say Sharia ecosystem, the people think that this is something just for Muslims. And that's wrong. Yeah. It can be used and serve every human being. It's a school where people can follow. You don't have to be Muslim to follow. You find that there is a value for you, there is something you can benefit, then you can just follow it. And the other part, when we talk about balancing, for example, Sharia finance, they don't accept charging interest. Don't accept, for example, projects like that deals with gambling, casino, alcohol. So you will find that all of these transactions or projects are not really good for the humanity. And from this point, the Sharia finance will not accept that. What people still need to learn about more is how the blockchain and crypto and the whole Web3 can be considered as the best tool to serve this. They need more awareness, more education to understand about it. They need also, here I'm talking about the whole people, but if we would go a little bit to a different level, when we talk about the finance people or financial institutions, their question is always, it's like, okay, you're doing a Sharia finance, it means You don't charge interest. You don't do leverage. So how you can make money? How we can make money?
That's exactly. So that's exactly the next thing I was going to ask you. Like, how do you make money then?
Yes. The concept of not charging interest, it doesn't mean there is no other ways or forms, or let's say, brains to make contracts and agree and also make it more beneficial for both parties.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in Sharia, there is something called murabaha, something called mudaraba, musharaka, muqayaba. Let me just give you a quick explanation. For example, if we talk about murabaha, it means like if me and you agreed about doing a project together. So you're the one who owns the project and you're executing it and you're take care about everything, but you are in need for someone to fund you for the project. So when I'm bringing you the fund or the loan for the project, so we go into murabaha agreement. What does it mean? It means that I'm giving you the money and we agree that when you get when your project is successful and you start creating or making profit, then you will share a certain part of this profit with me. And that will be my return of the investment. In case you're not making money and your project is in loss, in the murabaha way, I'm not sharing with you your loss, but I'm not also charging you interest. So all what I can ask you to give me back is my money that I gave to you with zero interest. So I'm only gaining when you gain. And there is another way of making contracts here that's also compliant with Sharia, which is called mudaraba. Mudaraba means that we go together and we share the profit and loss. So if you lose, I'm losing. If you gain money, I'm getting with you as well. So there is a different way. So there are a lot of ways to make contracts in a Sharia compliant way and to make money, but in more balanced and more fair way, not in the way of charging interests and taking leverage and keep squeezing the other party.
Okay, that's it. Very interesting. So tell us about what you're building, the solution that you're building.
So, I mean, from the previous discussion, we can come up with, I will not say a conclusion, but with understanding that there is a need to serve the Sharia compliant school, and we can talk about it from different way. There is Sharia finance, there is a Sharia lifestyle, and there is the halal products. And these all three need to be served with a technology tool that enable the transparency, empower it to be more seamless and to be reachable for the people all over the world. If we look at the many, many, many countries, you will find a lot of people unbanked. And also Muslims, there are a huge number of them. They're unbanked because of two reasons. One is maybe they are not a fan of a banking system, or the other part might be because of the difficulty to reach them and to offer the services to them. But if they found it in a very easy way, with a Sharia compliant way, then they up and it will solve the unbanked people challenges. So to enable to achieve this, you need the technology to be ready to serve it. And that's why we started building Hak Chain since long. It's a layer one protocol blockchain, just to serve the ethical finance, to serve the Sharia compliant finance lifestyle and halal ecosystem. Because you can maybe say, Muhammad, there are a lot of chains in the market. Why you are not building the Sharia solutions on that chain instead of bringing another new chain to the market? Now, the answer is that most of the chains are mixed. What do I mean by this? It has a lot of projects that are Sharia compliant and a lot of projects that are not Sharia compliant. So you cannot put a Sharia compliant project at the same environment where there is casino, projects, there is gambling, there is projects who charge interest. So there's a lot of mixture, and it will create conflict for the audiences. So better we create a chain that only support this, and it's very clean and straightforward, and that's Hug Chain. And the other question that I'm getting always is why, what makes Hug Chain Sharia compliant? I would say always that we have our Sharia board that are headed by Dr. Nizam Yaqubi from Bahrain and our respected scholars that are also part of AOFI. So they are the one who issued the certification, what we call it in our Sharia language, fatwa, that this is halal and Sharia compliant. And it's a permanent Sharia board that always check and monitor what's happening on the chain. And we have a mechanism called Sharia Oracle, because our chain is a public chain. So when people can come and fill their projects on the chain, but to tell the community and differentiate your project as a Sharia compliant, you need to go through Sharia Oracle. First step of that is the community voting. They will vote if they like the project or not. And then second step, it will go to the Sharia board, and they will study all the parts and make sure that it is Sharia compliant. So on top of this, we have the Islamic coin, which is the native coin of Hug blockchain. We have also a philanthropic part where we created Evergreen DAO. Evergreen DAO is a DAO to support the projects on the chain and to support the community as well, and the people all over the world. 10% of every minted coin goes to the Evergreen DAO. So there is a value and a purpose to give back to the community and serve them. So this is what we built and how we structured it. Of course, it gained attraction from the financial institutions. As you can see in our executive board, people from, I mean, we have the first Islamic banker in the world, Hussein Al-Miza, and he's co-founder of Dubai Islamic Bank. We have Peter Rafferty, who's 20 plus years serving in Abu Dhabi Investment Authority. We have many other esteemed and respected people in the executive board. And in the advisory board, we have the respected royal family from Abu Dhabi, from Dubai. So this all mixture, it is built in this way to give the trust to the people that this project is very solid, and it is created to bring value to people. It's not similar to all what you see in the Web3 environment. And we have a lot of partnerships now happening and a lot of projects. Maybe we talk about it later in this conversation, but we can say that we're working day and night along with the community to build a full ecosystem, a full ethical finance, and we're focusing on the three verticals, which is the Sharia compliant finance, the Sharia lifestyle, and the halal ecosystem.
Now, could you share the opportunities inherent in the solution that you're building, the Hack Network? What opportunities exist in, you know, this solution for everyone?
Okay, so first of all, when we talk about the Sharia finance and solutions we're building, and also when we talk about the halal, it's a complete ecosystem. So solutions we are building and also the community is building are very diverse solutions, very different solutions to serve all the different needs. So for example, we have built also the HackX, which is the crypto halal exchange, and it is almost ready and it will be fully launched in the coming few weeks. And we have also doing in the final stages of providing a microfinance solutions that's needed everywhere. We're also having a donation platform, has a CAC platform where people can use it. Of course, I have to mention here that we have our own wallet, which is called Hack Wallet, so that people can use it, and it makes it easy and accessible for all the solutions on the system. We are working also to issue and very soon a gold-backed stable coin. We're also working to have a real-world asset tokenization in a Sharia-compliant way. So these all solutions that I've mentioned are not only us, it's also the community solutions, and it's coming soon to be live. Some of it already announced. Recently, we already announced the launching of the NFT collection, and was very good. It found a lot of attraction. And I can say on a different level, focusing on the halal market, halal ecosystem. And by the way, we're talking, if we look at the Sharia finance and halal market, we're talking about 8 trillion plus market cap, a very huge market.
Wow.
So yeah, it's growing in a very crazy way, because I mean, for example, for the halal products market, the expectations that it will be, the market cap will be doubled by the end of 2025. It's like very soon. So it's a market that's growing very fast, because the adoption for this is huge from Muslims and non-Muslims as well. And we're moving also on the halal ecosystem, where very soon we will see the halal certificates being issued on blockchain. We will see the Sharia compliant loans, trade finance, sukuk, which is the Sharia compliant bonds, is called sukuk. It will be also on the chain, and many other things. So these are what we're currently doing as a solution. And since you have mentioned also the metaverse at the beginning, I can give you some news that we are currently building the Sharia compliant city on the metaverse in partnership with a company that we will announce very soon, in the coming maybe 2 weeks. And there will be a metaverse city that contains all the products that will be built on the Sharia, on the Haq chain, where people can access to that through the metaverse as well. And we'll have a different way to present and visualize the services and solutions we're doing on that chain.
Wow, that's beautiful. I hope these partnership announcements, you get to share them with our own audience too, once they drop, so that they can
with
be a part
pleasure.
Of it. Yeah. Okay, so what's the expansion or the African markets? How can those on the continent of Africa, you know, participate in this, both for those who are building, those who can participate in investing, and those who are like the customers on this level? What ways can, you know, those on the continent participate in, you know, the solutions that have been built? What kind of partnerships are you looking to build, and what kind of, are you thinking of expansion into the African market?
Of course we do. Well, African market is very important and very huge. And I'm always impressed by the huge adoption for the Web3 in Africa, especially in Nigeria. It's like something people didn't expect, but it's really interesting. And we have a lot of audiences and a big part of our community is from Nigeria. And of course, we're planning to expand. We're currently focusing on, first of all, listing on African exchanges. So we want to make the coin and the services available locally in the countries there in Africa. And of course, Nigeria is on the top of our focus. And of course, when it comes to ethical finance, combining this with ethics and values, I believe that there is a need for this to be in Africa, because we all know that Africa has most of the world resources. And at the same time, the people in Africa need to benefit from that. So that's why enabling them with these tools, making it accessible to them, will help to bridge those gaps. It will help to moving by balanced and fair treatment when it comes to global finance, trading, markets. So this will open the doors and give them access, and also give the world access to whatever is happening there in the African countries, because we talk today about the real world asset tokenization, we talk about the Sukuk, we talk about many different things that will help on growing the market there in Africa and on the Web3 adoption. I can give you, for example, some ideas or some thoughts that we think to do in Africa, because Africa has a lot, for example, of agriculture projects. There are a lot of families who are doing agriculture, a lot of families who are growing, let's say, animals, who are doing projects that are in need for funds and in need for small financing. And enabling the Web3 and ethical finance in Africa will open the doors and give them the access for the whole people all over the world to start contributing to finance this project and to gain from it. So it's another window of services and cash flow to be opened there, but in ethical way that always keep balance and make everybody winner.
Okay, so while, I was talking to someone just before we got on this call, the moment we started this conversation, the person said, generally, investing in the metaverse, halal or haram? And I know I think you've touched on it before, but I just want you to make a comment about it generally.
Okay, this is a good and frequent question that we're getting, but I have to highlight here that I'm actually, as you mentioned, I'm a computer science engineer focusing on artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. I'm not a scholar here to mm-hmm. say mm-hmm. halal or haram, but what I'm doing... Yeah, this is actually where I'm passing this everywhere when I go, because we talk about the Islamic coin and Sharia compliance, so people think that I'm a scholar, so I keep repeating that. Okay, I'm just an engineer, guys.
Clarity, let's put it out there.
Yeah, but I can tell you the answer from what I learned from the scholars, that first of all, when we look at the halal and haram, there is a base mm-hmm. that and a rule that says that everything is halal unless it is mentioned in the Sharia sources mm-hmm. That it is haram. If it is not mentioned it is haram, then it is halal. Mm-hmm. So if we look at the metaverse, there is nothing like mentioned that this should be haram. So how to deal with that? It depends on how you use it. So, for example, everybody has a mobile phone. If you use it in a good way, for good things, then it is halal. If you're using it for wrong thing, that's haram. So metaverse is the same. If you are having projects in the metaverse that, for example, promote, let's say, gambling, casino, alcohol, or pornography, or something that are not ethical or not good for the community, environment, society, then this is haram, of course. But if you're doing a project that are bringing value to people and helping them, then of course this is something should be halal. And that's what I learned again from the scholars and from many researches that we have done.
Okay, thanks for putting out there and having that clarity here on this episode. Now, what challenges have you been facing, and what challenges stand in the way of building this ethical Sharia compliant virtual economy, as you plan to do?
Well, I can say there are two sides of challenges. One is the awareness, because if you look at the whole blockchain and crypto, only you can say 5% of the world population are aware about it, and the others just heard about it, and big part of them, they don't know about it. So awareness is very important. First of all, when we talk especially for what we are building, we need to spread the awareness about Sharia compliant projects and finance, Sharia lifestyle, halal products. So this all people need to understand it and to know how they can benefit from it, and what value it will add to their life. And then we have to spread the awareness about the Web3 and how it serves these purposes. So for that, we created Blockchain Academy, which is called Hack Academy, in partnership with the International Islamic University in Malaysia. And people can go and start studying from the materials of Hack Academy, and by the end of their journey, they will get NFT certificate, and it's accredited from the International Islamic University. So this is part of how we tackle the awareness. And of course, there are a lot of efforts happening on market, business development, and events. On the other side, which is a common challenge that most of the Layer 1 protocol faced and is still facing, which is the regulatory part, where always we say the technology comes ahead and the regulations will follow, because they cannot regulate something that has not existed yet. So we're working closely with the regulators in different jurisdictions and trying to make the understanding and communication and move forward for this regulation part, because it helps in many countries, I mean, and in many places, to open the windows and access between the fiat and the crypto part. And it helps actually with some banks in some areas to start accepting the fiat to crypto and the opposite way. So these are mostly two main challenges, but we're mitigating this risk and moving forward. And I think with the time, it will be more easier and more smooth.
Okay, thank you. Now, what would you say, you know, if you think, what would be the biggest lesson or lessons you've learned through the period from the time you spent at Huawei to being an entrepreneur and, you know, being a board member, and what you do currently with many organizations you do it with?
Okay, well, this is a very important question, where when I started doing projects or startups long back, I was thinking that if you have a nice and creative idea and you make it into reality, you make it happen, you convert it into product, then that's enough for success. But what I learned during my journey, that's not enough for success at all, because there are a lot of parts we need to look at. We need to look at the market, we need to look at the demand, we need to look at how to serve the people, who else is tackling this. And the most important among all of this, I always say, skills and knowledge, you can learn it. But two things we need always to focus when we do any project. One is how to bring value to people. That's what we need to focus on before we focus about money and numbers and any other things. Once you bring value, money will follow. So this is a golden rule that I always put it in front of me. And the other side is how to select the right partners or the right co-founders with you, because if it doesn't matter if you have the best idea and the most resources and finance in the world, and you're working with the wrong team and wrong partners, you will never go anywhere. So these two things that I can say for every entrepreneur to focus on, and then success will follow.
Very interesting. Thank you very much for sharing that. And your focus areas are in IoT, you know, artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence, by the way, is like the buzzword of the, maybe it would be the buzzword of the decade, or maybe the buzzword of 2023, 2024. But your focus areas are in these industry 4.0 to really, you know, big issue. It's something we're talking about now. Machine learning. Yes, all of these. What are your thoughts, or what would your thoughts be if you're speaking to people who are involved in building the solutions around these major technologies? What would you want to say to the people involved in building, you know, the AI technologies, things related to machine learning, IoTs, and whatnot?
Yeah, this is
you know what I'm asking, because These technologies are not just shaping our world now, but they would really, it's like the internet of our age that would define a lot of things on how we're moving forward with a lot of things in our lives. So that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, I totally understand. And it's important to highlight and to discuss this part. However, I can say, yes, part of what I'm focusing on in Industry 4.0 and artificial intelligence is also machine learning, reinforcement learning, and many other things. But my focus on that in the other businesses that I'm doing is it's focusing on the industrial part. Any production environment, you talk about factories, water, electricity, utility, and many others. So that's where is the focus. But in general, I can say that AI and machine learning and even reinforcement learning and many other artificial intelligence tools are important. It will make people's life easier. But there is an important part that I would love to bring all the people who are developing this. I would love to bring their attention to it that, one, you should think on the long run, whatever you are building, how it will be developed and how it will impact people's lives. Because you might develop something that's very useful today, but with the AI tools that it continues developing itself and building more and more and being better and better, it might go out of control and it might impact negatively the people's life. So always we should have long-run thinking to understand and predict how this will be shaped in the future after you release this product in the market and after it goes to the people, how it will be developing itself and where it will reach and how to secure that it is always having positive impact. Second is the standards and ethics and values again. It's much, much needed when we talk about artificial intelligence because in today's life, everybody can develop anything. There is nothing controlling this. You can develop any algorithms. You can develop any AI product and no global, let's say, entity that can and make sure that what you have developed is really ethical and good for the community and environment. So this is very important. So that the we need, of course, to create something that set up standards and ethics around and behind the artificial intelligence projects. And the developers need to follow. And if there's nothing like this, then they need to do their and apply their ethics and values themselves. They need to have this part and focus it on what they have building because you don't know where it will go in the future. There are some entities who tried actually to set up standards and do something around ethics, ethical artificial intelligence and other parts, but still it is moving very slow and technology moving faster. So these are the two parts where I would love to bring developers' attention to.
Okay, thank you very much. I hope and I know that they're listening. Now, finally, as we wrap up this conversation, final words on the, you know, just final words and your final thoughts on the potential of a Sharia-compliant virtual economy for the digital landscape globally.
Well, I believe that this is the most important part to keep balance for human being and to fight inflation and support the development. And we can find a lot of statistics if you do little researches, how to help with that. The world today is suffering from inflation, is suffering from unbalanced resources, and Sharia compliant finance and lifestyle is the solution for that.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. That's all we can take on this particular episode. I've been speaking to Mohammed Al-Kalf Al-Hashmi, and he is the co-founder of a Layer 1 blockchain solution that aims to build a Sharia-compliant economy in the metaverse, HAK, the HAK network. As we've said, technology should not just be about innovation and advancement alone. It should reflect our values and our beliefs, because this is really what makes us human, right? This is what humanity is based on. And it doesn't just stop there. It gives every one of us an opportunity to create that digital space that aligns with our ethical and our religious principles and our values and our beliefs, and creates inclusivity and respect for everyone. Thank you very much, Mohammed, for sharing your thoughts and sharing with us the solution that is Hack Network and the other things, including your wonderful 2 cents you shared for those who, in terms of the learnings through your entrepreneurial journey, and some thoughts for those developing and building the AI technologies that we would be using. Thank you.
Thank you as well, Anthony, and thanks for your amazing moderation for the conversation and the smart questions. I enjoyed it a lot.
Beautiful. I look forward to having you again when, you know, you would want to share maybe another milestone with us and with the audience on Tunis Tech Side.
Sure, with pleasure.
Great.